Welcome to Radio Free School.
This is Evelina Kay. I went to Gritlet. We listened to Dennis Lee reading poems, and that's what you're going to hear yourself.
The first poem we're going to do is one that you have to help me with. And it is a very, very sad poem. I'll show you why. This is a poem where a person has something sitting on them. Can you see what this is? What is it? An elephant. That's right. Can you see what's underneath that elephant?
I love that.
A person. A person's feet. That person is a kid. And this is how the poem goes. You can help me with the last word. Willoughby wallaby woo. I don't know what to. Hey, good. Willoughby wallaby wee. An elephant sat on. Yeah. Willoughby wallaby wash. I'm feeling kind of squashed. Willoughby wallaby woo. And I don't know what to. Good. Now look, this is a poem you can make up new verses to also. For instance, you could say, Willoughby wallaby wungry. I'm feeling kind of. Willoughby wallaby what dog. I think I'll eat a. Wow, that's an amazing rhyme. Willoughby wallaby worsty. Now I'm feeling. Willoughby wallaby woca cola. I think I'll drink a. Willoughby wallaby warring. This is starting to get kind of. Willoughby wallaby woem. How do we stop making up all these crazy, ridiculous new verses to this horrible? Will you just stop? All right. Now, here is one that you also have to help me with, and let me tell you about it. It is called Bundle Buggy Boogie. If you go into the big grocery store, you know that push cart that you shove around and you put the groceries in it? Sometimes that's called a bundle buggy. And in this poem, all the bundle buggies in Canada can get together and they go up to places in the far north. You'll hear the names of the places. And when they get there, they do the boogie woogie. All right, and to help me, if you can snap your fingers, you would go like that. Or you could clap. Okay, let's see if we can get the rhythm. Well, way up north on a fine bright day, a bundle buggy boogied at the break of day. It did the boogie boogie here, the boogie boogie there. It did the bundle buggy boogie boogie everywhere. Calabogie, Kapuskasing, Espanola, Attakokan, Manitoulin, Madawaska, in Des Moines, Moose, and E. Then another bundle buggy did a boogie woogie hop. Another and another in the bundle boogie bop. And it's a boogie woogie high and it's a boogie woogie low. A bundle buggy boogie woogie everywhere you go. Athabasca, Abitibi, Bona Vista, Malaspina, Bella Bella, Bella Coola, Batchewana, Bay Camo. Now, here's a poem where you have to imagine that I am 3 years old, okay? 3, and I'm sitting in my high chair, and they brought me some of that really gooky food that little guys eat, actually probably younger than 3. And the idea is I put my spoon into it perfectly, comes up to my mouth, and goes right in. Is that what happens? Not too often. Where does the food go? Maybe on the floor, maybe on the ceiling, maybe on the dog, maybe in the face. So after a while, the mom or the dad start different tricks. For instance, did you ever have them do this one to you when you were little? Look, here comes the train into the station. Choo, 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 choo. Well, that works for a couple of times, right? Here comes the plane into the airport. That works. Eventually, they might try something else. And this is how this goes. Tricking. When they bring me a plate full of stuff that I hate, like spinach and turnips and guck, I sit very straight and I look at the plate and I quietly say to it, "Bleh." Little kids bawl, because I used to be small and I threw it all over the tray. But now I am 3 and I'm much more like me. I yuck till they take it away. But sometimes my dad gets terrifically mad and he says, "Don't you drink from that cup." But he can't say it right because he's not very bright. So I trick him and drink it all up. Then he gets up and roars. He stomps on the floor and he hollers, "I warn you, don't eat." He counts up to 10 and I trick him again. I practically finish the meat. And I start on the guck. My daddy goes, "Yuck!" And he scrunches his eyes till they hurt. So I shovel it in, and he grins a big grin. And then we have dessert. A little while ago, most of the books I've written for kids were for guys in public school. But a little while ago, I tried my hand writing a book for somewhat older kids who'd be in senior public school or junior high school. I'm going to read you two, it's called So Cool, and I'm going to read you two poems from it, okay? This one is called Popping Pimples in the Park. Look, it's not my fault. That's what it's called. I've got to read it. We're popping pimples in the park. Popping pimples after dark. We pop them hot. We pop them cold. We pop them when they're 9 days old. We pop them pink. We pop them yellow. We pop them when they're fine and mellow. We're soft and squeezy, over easy, pimple poppin' dandies. All right, and this is called Back When I Never Knew. Sometimes when the ache gets too much, or my friends start freaking, and I'm not so cool myself, or the whole world feels like it's sliding straight to rat shit, sometimes I think back to a bedtime long ago. It might have been 4, and my mom still read to us. Anyway, this one night I stopped her, and I said the book out loud, word for word, page for page turn, and it was cool. It was perfect. It was all pretend, because the thing is, I still couldn't read. But I was racing to big kid freedom, just chasing my runaway heart. I was chugging to paradise, to light, in the grown-up world, coronas of free-fall light in the fever and stations of growing. And I knew wherever I went, my mom would always be there. Oh man, sometimes when the ache gets too much, I think back to then, back when I was so hot to be older, and everything big was golden, and the brand new world was waiting to show me secrets. Back when I never knew. I just never knew. All right. It's a poem I'd like to read you, a very gentle little poem called
I Eat Kids, Yum Yum.
And this is how it goes. A child went out one day.
I actually know this one.
She only went to play. You actually do. A mighty monster came along and sang its mighty monster song.
Hey, kids, yum, yum. I stuff them down my tum.
I only leave the teeth and clothes, especially like the toes. The child was not amused. She stood there and refused. Then, with a skip and a little twirl, she sang the song of a hungry girl.
I eat monsters, burp.
They make me squeal and slurp. It's time to chomp and take a chew. And what I'll chew is you. Who's going to be more scared, the child or the monster?
Monster.
Well, I think so. The monster ran like that. It didn't stop to chat. The child went skipping home again and ate her brother's model train. You don't have much choice, do you? When they're that funny, you pretty well have to bite your knee. I was thinking of reading a poem that I'm afraid I can't read to you. And the reason is that this is the scariest poem in the world. So instead of that, I'm going to read you a love poem, okay?
No.
It's a very, very nice love poem, and it only takes 2 hours, so I think you'll enjoy it a lot.
2 hours is a very long time.
Pardon me?
2 hours is a very long time.
Yeah, I know, but it's a very nice poem. So we won't do the scariest poem in the world, but we will do the love poem. Look, I'm sorry, you don't understand. No, shh. I'm going to have to explain this to you. This poem is so scary, if I read it to you, do you know what happens? Your ears fall off. And not only that, your eyeballs fall off. And not only that, your belly buttons fall right on the floor and go rolling out the door. So it's the love poem, okay? I beg your pardon. It is true. It's true, I promise you.
Actually, not true.
There's a very precise use of actually going on here that I quite admire. I tell you what. Because this poem is so scary, the only part I can read to you is the title. And then you'll see just how scary it is. And then we'll do... I beg your pardon. Then we'll do the love poem, okay? So here we go. I can't do it, no. I'll write the title, but remember, it's only going to be the title. Yeah, I know, but this is a different book. It has the same cover, but what's inside is completely different. And the poem is called... Not that you're going to hear the poem. The poem is called... The Ghost and Jenny Jemima. That is a scary title. All right, it's not quite as scary as the poem itself, but it's pretty scary all the same. So now we'll do the love poem, okay? Oh, for pity's sake. All right, we'll do the first verse, but only the first verse, because in the first verse, panic begins. And I would appreciate it if you wouldn't laugh at a scary poem. It makes me stammer a little bit, so please be patient. The clock struck one. The clock struck two. The ghost came playing peekaboo. Wow. Wow. See what I mean? All right, that still was just the first verse. It's in the second verse that naked terror begins. The clock struck... Thank you. Three. The clock struck four. And Jenny Jemima began to roar! Don't fall asleep, please. The clock struck five. Thank you very much. The clock struck six. The ghost could walk through steel and bricks. I think I better stop now, okay? From here on, it's all downhill.
Okay.
It's a different one from that. No. I have a different poem. That looks the same, but it's completely different. That one is not so scary. This one is... Up to this point, it's the same. But now it changes completely. The clock... You might be right, actually. The clock struck... Seven. The clock struck eight, and Jenny Jemima's hair stood straight. The clock struck nine. The clock struck ten. The ghost wound the clock and went home again. The end. Now, was that scary or was that scary? You kids wouldn't know a scary poem if it fell in your soup. That's all I can say. Honestly. But I'll tell you what, I'll read you one more poem. This is another one where you actually have to snap. Okay? It's called The Perfect Pets. Well, I had a dog and his name was Doogie. And I don't know why, but he liked to... He boogied all night, he boogied all day, and he boogied in a rude, rambunctious... So I got a cat, and her name was Bing. And I don't know why, but she liked to... She sang up high, and she sang down deep. She sang like the Dickens when I tried to... So I got a fox... And her name was Knox, and I don't know why, but she liked to... She boxed me out. She boxed me in. She boxed me smack on my chinny chin. So I got a grizzly bear, and his name was Gus. And I don't know why, but he liked to fuss. He fussed in the sun, and he fussed in the rain, and he fussed till they drove me half in. Now, I don't know, but I've been told that some people's pets are as good as... But there's Doogie, and there's Bing, and there's Knox, and there's Gus, and they boogie, and they sing, and they box, and they fuss. So I'm giving them away, and I'm giving them for free. If you want a perfect pet, just call on me. Good. Now, we might do one poem out of this book with the weird-looking name. It says, all ig. Oh, yeah, not just some ig, but all ig at or.
Pardon me? No, it says alligator.
Alligator, is that what that says, alligator?
It says alligator pie.
It doesn't say pie, it says pie. Pie. That doesn't make any sense. Well, if you say so, alligator pie. Well, look, let's see if there's anything called that inside. Here's another one, the same thing, alligator pie.
No, it's alligator pie.
For heaven's sake, you're right again. Let's see if any of you know that one. Alligator pie, alligator pie. If I don't get some, I think I'm going to give away the green grass, give away this sky, but don't give away my alligator stew. Alligator stew. If I don't get some, I don't know what I'll give away my furry hat, give away my, but don't give away my if I don't get some, I think I'm going to die. Give away the green grass, give away the sky, but
don't give away my alligator pie.
Kids, you whispered divinely. You're very good with poems, and I'm very glad you came, so thanks. Now we have a few minutes if there are any questions about making poems or books or pictures, which I'm not very good at. You could ask them. I don't know if I would know the answer or not, but I could try. What am I working on now? I write both for kids and for grown-ups. And at the moment I'm working on a new book of adult poetry, which comes after one that was called Un. What follows Un? We have to see.
Done.
Yeah, done. Somebody pointed out that if you turn the book, if you turn it on upside down, you get new, which is a Yiddishism, it's meaning sort of new. Yes?
Your favorite poet yourself.
My favorite poet? Well, I have some favorite children's poets and I have some favorite grown-up poets. I think, let me see, my favorite children's poets, one would certainly be Lewis Carroll, who wrote the Alice in Wonderland books. He writes a very special kind of poetry that's nonsense in the very specific form. It seems completely logical and it's turned inside out. What he did, it's kind of airless, but what he did, I think, is nobody could possibly do it better. He was a genius in the strange world he inhabited. Any other questions? Yes?
Your favorite adult poet.
My favorite adult poet. Well, at the moment, I'm not sure how much this will mean to but it's a German poet who died about 30 years ago called Paul Celan, C-E-L-A-N, who writes poetry that has to, in German, that has to be translated into German for German speakers. The poet around here who has had the most effect on me is a man called Al Purdy, who died a few years ago. Okay. Guys, you've been just terrific. Thanks again for coming. Hope you'll come back again to more things next year. Bye-bye.
You are listening to Radio Free on CFMU.
What we were doing today with so many young kids in the audience is a really interesting pipeline into the way poetry can enter kids' lives, because really as early as 18 months or even younger, you can start to connect words and rhythms and sounds with the body energies of a child, and it's so primordial, you know. Writing for that level, which I've only, Jelly Belly is the book when I, where I tried to do that the most purely, it's a huge challenge actually, because you know, you've got vowels and consonants to work with. The meaning can be there, but it almost is secondary to the actual music, the incantatory effect. So you're trying to bring children at that level into the just the delight of the musical imagination, the verbal imagination, and that's something that we have we have riches in English that very few other languages have, and that's the Mother Goose heritage. You know, I think every language has stories for little guys and lullabies and songs, but if you go through language by language, it's surprising how that there are not very many where there's this treasury of hundreds of traditional nursery rhymes. But the English language does have it, and so it's a place to connect kids with words and that sense of play and language really early. And so I recommend every adult who's got kids start doing that. You know, even before kids are going to know what three quarters of the words mean, just bounce them on your knee and pull faces and snuggle them, and that sense of pleasure and enjoyment connecting with books is going to start. As kids get older, you know, you can move out of the older conventions of rhyme and regular metrical rhythm and stanzas. But I think that's the place to begin. That's where kids, you can see how kids, even when they, well, some of them knew the poems, but just the pleasure of completing a rhyme, which is such a primitive pleasure to, but we all feel it.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1C O.